Thanks for downloading this bonus episode of the IVMV podcast. In this episode, you're going to hear an interview that I did with Ed Baum. And Ed is the Cubs fan that caught Jake Arrieta's home run in Game 3 of the NLDS in San Francisco. Ed is a listener of our podcast, and I wanted to hear his experience, and so it made sense to share this conversation with all of you. If this is the first IVMV episode that you've listened to, we've been podcasting on the Cubs for 8 seasons, and you can hear our thoughts on all of these playoff games by subscribing to our podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever podcast app you prefer. We also have a free iOS and Android app. Just search for IVMV, and you'll be able to listen to our episodes there. So here is my conversation with Ed Baum. And joining me is the Cubs fan that caught Jake Arrieta's home run in Game 3 of the NLDS in San Francisco. He also happens to be a listener of our podcast and a Patreon supporter, Ed Baum. Ed, thank you for taking a few minutes this morning to come on the podcast.
You're very welcome.
So let's talk about the game and then the home run. So the Giants were down 2-0. This is an elimination game for them. We know their history with elimination games. What their history was. Thankfully, that's changed. But so what was the mood of Giants fans before that game, early in the game? And I guess what was your experience as the only Cubs fan in a sea of Giants fan there in the outfield seats?
Well, I mean, first, I live in San Francisco. I've lived in the San Francisco area for most of the last 45 years, so I'm kind of accustomed to this. I used to have pennants burnt in front of my face at Candlestick in the 70s, so used to being surrounded by Giants fans. My younger brothers are all Giants fans. The mood was, don't stop believing. Like, they all were wearing the super annoying Believe-In shirts, which have B-E-L-I in white, and then even in, you know, Giants orange.
Sure.
They've come back before, being down 2-0 to the Reds in a wild card series. So the mood for the Giants fans was, we got mad bum pitching. It's an even numbered year. Go Giants. Nothing beyond that, because you talk to any rational Giants fan, and I'll use my brother as an example of that. It's like, of course the Cubs are a better team, but we're going to win.
Right. It's baseball magic.
That's the feel. Yes, baseball magic, exactly.
So I mean, here living in the Midwest, and I live in an area that's probably close to 50-50 Cubs and Cardinals fans, I mean, it's that's what I experience with Cardinals fans is, hey, it's just going to work out in our favor. That's the way it works. And that makes the Cardinals fans a little bit infuriating for Cubs fans like me. So is there that tension out there? I mean, I know that they're not natural rivals.
0-0-0. The tension out here is with Dodgers fans,
right?
Which is much more equivalent to the Cubs-Cardinals rivalry/hatred. So nobody cares. I mean, it's one of those things we joke about it out here in California. People from Northern California hate Southern California. People from Southern California don't even acknowledge that Northern California exists.
Right.
So it's like that. People are thinking this is the opponent that we need to beat. There was no animosity towards the Cubs.
Now,
this is the team that we have to beat.
Right. Okay. So even in this series, there wasn't much animosity. So in with you being surrounded by Giants fans in the outfield, which we saw on film, you felt like it was a pretty friendly place to be?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, okay, most of the audience will have sat in the bleachers. I used to be a bleacher bum. I've sat in the bleachers a lot. There's a lot of, it's not as intense as Wrigley, that's for sure. And it was mostly jocular. So people, especially after I made the catch, were making a lot of fun of me, but they were doing it with smiles on their faces, right? It's
right.
Like, let's go annoy the Cubs fan, not, I actually hate you and would do bodily damage if it weren't going to put me in jail.
Right. So it's not,
which is how it would be to a Dodgers fan.
Right. Or any other fan in Dodger Stadium. I've been there. It's not a fun place to be, but that's one thing that kind of stood out and made me ask that question is because in the, you know, the screenshots of you after you caught the ball, all of the Giants fans around you were smiling and laughing, and it just seemed kind of odd to me because their team just went down 3-0 in an elimination game. Now, I don't know how long those smiles stayed, but they were there when the screenshots happened.
Well, yeah, because in the actual moment, they're not thinking we're going to lose. Remember, they're the elect, right? They're going to win. It's only a question of when and how. Combined with the fact that when someone catches a home run right near you, even if it's the wrong team, it's still kind of fun.
Right, right.
Like, the people around me were like, cool, now I'm on TV. That's great.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you'll see a lot, even at Wrigley, you'll see fans raise their arms after catching an opponent's home run before they throw it back. But so
I've done it.
Yeah, right. So I think it's the fact that you were kind of isolated in a sea of Giants fans, and you're the one Cubs fan, and so it's so coincidental that you're the one that catches the home run ball, the Arrieta home run ball. But then also your reaction to catching the ball, I think, is what made the media and just the fan base take an interest in you in that situation. And it is just amazing that that ball ended up in your glove.
Well, I do think the reaction helped, but it's not, I mean, there's a lot of luck, right? When you watch the video, you can see I'm standing like a statue. I did not move my feet.
No.
but I was wearing a glove. And some of the folks who've been interviewing me, they basically said, don't you think it's a, you know, you're people who bring gloves to the ballpark are dorks? And the answer is, I've caught balls before. I caught Arrieta's ball. I might have caught it barehanded because it was right at me, but boy, it's a lot easier to catch with a glove. The
right.
other thing is, I'm 6'4". And it's really helpful to be really tall, especially I happen to be surrounded by people who weren't. If you go look at the video or the shots, you know, you'll see how much higher I am than everybody else. I'm not standing on anything.
Right.
I'm a tall person. And I was surrounded by short people. That makes it a lot easier to get the ball. No one was hanging on my arms. You do that at Wrigley, there are people on top of you trying to get the ball.
Sure.
This was clean. No one was on me.
Yeah, I think you're kind of the poster child for the argument that you should, even as an adult, bring a baseball glove to the ballpark. Because, I mean, it would have been tough to catch that barehanded, I think. And, you know, I've never even had the opportunity to catch a home run ball. The one time that I came close was during batting practice. It was, I don't know, maybe 6 years ago or so. And Albert Pujols was taking batting practice. And the way those balls were coming into the bleachers at Wrigley, I was terrified. I did not want to be anywhere near those things. And granted, this probably wasn't the same speed, but
exit velocity, I think, was 106.
Right.
So
that thing That thing was cooking. And so, it was amazing. You were fairly statuesque and you didn't budge. And, I would think it would be kind of your instinct is to get out of the way of that thing. But I bet, can you just talk about, at one point in its flight, you thought you had a chance to catch this thing and just kind of how it
okay.
all unfolded?
Sure. So a little bit of background. So I've lived in San Francisco most of my life, but I went to the University of Chicago and I worked in Chicago for 2 years after college. So this is the fallow period between the 84 and 89 seasons. So 85, 86, 87, 88 were the years where I was in the bleachers the most. But I was in the bleachers a lot. I pretty much went to every weekend or holiday game for a number of years. And so I'm really used to being out in the outfield. That stuff comes back to you in the bleachers. And I was there for batting practice, right? I would sit in the front row right over what today is the Under Armour area, the one
right.
where you bring in and out the field stuff. I would sit in the front row in front of that every time. So when you're in the front row, in batting practice, you get a lot of balls. So I'm used to the, you know, stuff anybody who's played outfield before would be used to, of the fact that nothing gets hit straight. when you're in left field. It's going to arc, all that type of stuff. So off the bat, I went, this is possible. And then I'm going, wow, it's arcing. It's coming right at me. And then it's like, okay, here it comes. Boom. So it was not like, oh my God, I can't believe it's coming at me. It's coming at me. I'm going to catch it.
Right. And your face was priceless when you caught the ball. And so how much of that was excitement of snagging a home run hit by Jake Arrieta in the playoffs? And how much of it was excitement that the Cubs just went up 3-0 in an elimination game to send them to the NLCS?
I would have to say, honestly, most of it was I caught the ball. And the reason why I say that is what I'm sure my face looked like when we came back the following night. Because then it's a look of intensity and yeah, we did it, as opposed to a big smile like I caught the ball. I mean, I felt like a giant old little kid when I did that. The only time I felt like that before, I went to college with, you know, a lot of the Ricketts went to the University of Chicago. So we had a reunion 5 years ago where we got access to the field. Was a Cubs off day, and it's that feeling like a little kid of, I got to pitch off the mound at Wrigley Field and catch balls against the ivy and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That's what it felt like. I felt like a little kid.
Right. Yeah. So, can you kind of talk about the events after the home run? So we know that you gave the ball to Arrieta. Can you explain your thought process in making that decision to give the ball to Jake rather than keep it? And kind of how did it all come to be?
So one thing that helped my thought process a lot is seeing what happened when Travis Wood hit his home run. And then the fact that the fan who caught that ball then gave the ball to Travis and got a meet and greet. And I thought, right after I did it, my first thought was, the ball is not leaving my hand. The ball is not leaving my hand. But then, you know, the second thought was, well, I got to give the ball back. How? Very quickly, maybe meaning 15 minutes later, a representative of the Giants, or so I thought, came to me and said, hi, I'm the guy who runs the visitors clubhouse. The Cubs and Jake want the ball. You know, we can give you a bunch of stuff. And if the Cubs win, you can probably get a meet and greet. And so I said, okay, sure, and handed the ball over. And then people around me were going, do you know how much that ball could be worth? You handed the ball over? And I said, yeah, it's the experience. That's what matters. I caught the ball.
Right, right.
And then I start thinking, what if that wasn't actually the clubhouse attendant? How do I know? Because I didn't hand the ball to Jake Arrieta.
You just gave a lot of people an idea. You know, the next time there's an important home run and they're near it, all they have to do is, you know, take their jersey off, whatever they're wearing, tuck their shirt in, put their jacket on, and take a hat off and say they represent the opposing, you know, that whatever clubhouse.
Yeah. And so, you know, then I was worried, did I do the right thing? Did I do the right thing? Did I wait till after the game? And in fact, the guy who took the ball was the visiting clubhouse attendant and got me a bunch of stuff, including the Jake Arrieta sign ball that I posted onto the IDNV site. And, you know, unfortunately, I never got the meet and greet. I never got to actually meet Jake, but you know, I did the right thing and I have the memory. And then there's all this insane press coverage. It's weird to be famous for 15 seconds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as far as the meet and greet goes, obviously the game didn't turn out. I think if the game would have turned out differently, maybe, you know, I think you probably would have been.
If we had held.
Right.
Yeah. If we had held and we had won 3-2, if the bullpen had held out, I'll bet I would have gotten it, because then it would have been all three runs on Jake Arrieta's home run, and here's the guy who did it, and here's the picture of Jake shaking hands with the guy who caught the ball.
Right.
But that was not to be.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's still, you know, we're in the middle of the playoffs. Things are kind of hectic. I don't think I would write it. I think it could, like, potentially still happen. I think you should, like, I don't know if you go to spring training, but it might be worth making a trip to spring training next year and just, you know, making it known to Jake that you're there. And I bet you could still get that meet and greet.
I'll bet I could in a very different context. Right. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess, can you kind of talk about the all of the attention that you mentioned, the 15 seconds of media attention? Can you talk about that experience and what that's been like?
Sure. So right after it happened, somebody who writes for MajorLeagueBaseball.com came and did a quick interview, and that's where my name got out, which, you know, is fine. I was happy to do it. And so if you go and you search out my name and you look at news, you'll see there's an article that's like 2 days old that, you know, has some just some very basic information. But then the Tribune was able to hunt me down the following morning, and that's the good interview. So I think that's the one that went viral. And it went viral with Cub stuff, you know. It went viral at my place of work. The Tribune linked it to my LinkedIn profile, and I'm a tech executive, so that one went crazy. You know, everyone is reposting it. People, because I've been a hardcore Cubs fan forever, so sure. You know, friends from elementary school coming out of the woodwork would like, oh my God, Ed's been a Cubs fan since the beginning of time. This is so great. So that's been wacky. It's fun. Never had anything like this happen before. So it just shows what going viral looks like.
Right. And I think that, you know, your name's Google search results have been impacted for the rest of your life, I believe.
I think Ed Baum Cisco is still at the top, but we'll see how long it lasts.
Yeah. Well, maybe this episode will just put it over the top. Now, okay, so if I told you before the game that you were involved with a batted ball and there would be screenshots of you spread around Twitter and the internet, stories would be written about you, given the history of Cubs fans and batted balls in playoff games, would you be a little nervous?
No, and I'll tell you why. I posted a photo of me, just a selfie, up in the bleachers before the game, and one of my friends razzed me and said, "Hey, Ed, don't pull a Bartman." And I replied back, "I can't. I'm in the bleachers." So
you knew you were safe out there. Sure.
I knew I was safe. But the thing I found most fun, and I only wish it were true, is another friend of mine, I think, posted today or last night, you know, now the curse of Bartman is broken, because there's this, and I think I've never heard that before someone said this, but there's such a negative spin on Cubs fans and touching the ball. And I haven't seen an article like this, and granted it's me, so I'm seeing it all, but anything where there's so much interaction about a Cubs fan touching the ball in a game. And so instead of it being the guy who, still, Bartman didn't cause the Cubs to lose.
No.
Alex Gonzalez caused the Cubs to lose. But maybe people will perceive the story, because of course it's not true, but the story is the guy who caught the ball in the bleachers. That's the sign that the curse is broken.
Yeah. Well, let's see if the national broadcasters go with that storyline, because we know they love storylines and they love curses, magic, whatever, in the postseason. And so maybe they'll latch on to that.
Who knows?
So in talking to you, Ed, one thing I've picked up in this conversation is I don't think you've stopped smiling. And I'm guessing you haven't stopped smiling since it happened. And given the look on your face when it happened, I think that may be true. And I would think this definitely has to be one of the highlights of your Cubs fandom.
Well, it is the highlight of my Cubs fandom, along with, you know, I was at the game where we clinched. And that was pretty awesome too.
Yeah.
But it's funny. And today it's much more important that we won. In retrospect, it'll be much more important that I caught the ball.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Because I caught the ball, the Cubs came back.
There you go. Well, before I let you go here, do you have a prediction for the NLCS?
No.
No.
We're the better team. I don't like predictions. In my mind, it's really simple. There is no ambiguity. the Cubs are the best team. We had the most wins. We had a ridiculous Pythagorean. We should have won 107. We're healthy. We should win this easily. We should win everything easily. Anything can happen in a game. So all I just want to do, watch the games, enjoy it, and hope we get lucky.
Yeah, I think you summed it up perfectly. I like that a lot. I think you're right. But, Egg, well, congratulations on catching the ball. And I think that that image of you with your arms raised will be one of the snapshots of the 2016 playoffs. And I think that all Cubs fans, I think we kind of saw ourselves in your reaction. And I just want to say that you represented us well. So thank you.
Hooray. You're very welcome. And thanks for the kind words.
Yeah. So thanks for taking a few minutes to talk with us here. And Ed, go Cubs.
Go Cubs.